Hi, I'm Mal Majoros. I am a three-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. Today, we're talking stupid cancer with the co-producer, co-host of the Stupid Cancer Show, who I got to talk to just a couple weeks ago. She's also the vice president of marketing and media for I2I, which is also Stupid Cancer. She's a 15-year breast cancer survivor. It's Lisa Bernhardt. How are you today, Lisa?
I'm great, Mel. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you for coming on the show. Or should I say you kind of like poked at me during the Stupid Cancer Show. And you know I love a good story, so I had to have you on.
Oh, I know. Well, it was fun because we had you on the show, and you guys were all talking about how my co-hosts, Matt and Jack Buffard, Matt Zachary and Jack Buffard, had been on your show.
Yes.
And I was like, hey, wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute.
What about me?
What about the girl? What about the chick?
That's right. Well, you know, I like to have the chicks on. I like strong women on the show to tell their stories and everything. So
Here you is.
15 years. So how old were you when you were diagnosed?
Oh, great. Make me give away my age in the first question. Thanks so much. No, I was 29.
Oh, wow. That's
young. Yeah, I was 29, and I had a mastectomy with immediate reconstruction 6 days after my 30th birthday.
Oh, happy birthday. Did you find the lump yourself?
I didn't. My partner at the time found the lump. We were just sort of lying in bed, and he's like, what's that? And I'm like, what? And I felt it, and I went to have one of these, you know, classic sort of young adult stories where I went to my gynecologist. And I said, what do you think about this? Do you feel it? And she said, oh, I think it feels like normal cystic breast tissue. I said, really? I'm not sure. And it was small. It was like the size of a pea at the time. Mm-hmm. And she said, and I was like, really? And we had this kind of back and forth. She said, well, if you're really worried about it, go see this breast surgeon. And so she gave me the name of a breast surgeon. And I called the guy's office, and they told me that there was a three-month wait to get in to see him.
What?
Yeah. So, you know, I was living in New York City at the time, and so I thought 3 months, and so I gave them my name, and then I sort of thought, you know, oh, geez, I'm being a hypochondriac, you know, which I kind of was, and, you know, the whole thing, and I thought, well, if they're telling me that they're going to check out this lump in 3 months, I guess they're not very concerned about it.
Right, yeah.
Wouldn't they sort of rush me in? Wouldn't somebody, you know? It's like, well, they're not worried about it, and I am 29, and, you know, my doctor said it felt like normal cystic breast tissue, so I called them back and took my name off the schedule.
Oh.
Cut to, fast forward a year later. I'm like, geez, does this thing feel bigger? Is it my imagination? I don't know. 1 year later.
Wow.
There, but for the grace of God, I go back to my same gynecologist and, you know, I said, what do you think? She goes, well, I still think it feels like normal cystic breast tissue. She checks her notes and she said, oh, I noticed that I gave you the same as the surgeon. Did you ever go see him? And I said, nah, you know, I didn't, da da da. She said, that's okay. That's okay. I'm sure it's still fine. But this time go. So a year later, for some reason, I was able to get, now I call back and maybe business was down for him. I don't know. I go back and I was able to get in a week.
Oh, okay.
So I got in a week. Same thing. He says, probably nothing. He did, you know, back in the day, he just did the needle biopsy.
Mm-hmm.
Calls me up, and I'm at work. You know, I was working at a television magazine at the time as I'm a sort of journalist in my other sort of kind of 20-year journalist in entertainment. And so I was at the office, and he calls me up, and he says, it came back. It was kind of inconclusive. I forget what the exact term was. But I guess it was just abnormal. But it wasn't necessarily, wasn't necessarily malignant, but it wasn't benign, so you couldn't tell. I said, now we have to do a surgical biopsy to really be able to tell. But you're young, you know, and then the whole speech, but you're young, I'm sure it'll be fine, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then, you know, cut to.
God, we all hear this story, and it's so scary. And especially back then, but go ahead.
Exactly. Anyway, so I go to the hospital, the whole thing, and you know where this is headed. And, you know, they do the immediate, I was, you know, awake and sort of my head tented, and he's chatting to me and do the immediate frozen section. And he was right then and there. I was in the recovery room. My folks were both there with me. And he walked in, and I remember he said, it's a tumor. But he never said the word cancer. He never said malignant. He just said, it's a tumor. And I remember thinking in my head at the time, well, tumors can be malignant or benign, but he didn't say benign. If he's just telling me it's a tumor, that's bad. So then I just looked at him and I said, you mean cancer? And then he said, yes. And then we were sort of off and running. And it was stage one, and I kind of had the option to do either a lumpectomy or a mastectomy. Mm-hmm. I mean, back then it was a little bit more, they weren't giving as many lumpectomies. It was right. a little slightly more the protocol to do mastectomy, although probably 50-50, could have gone either way. I met with a plastic surgeon who I just absolutely fell in love with and saw his work that he had done. He had referred other patients to me, and I saw this reconstructive surgery that these women all had using their own tissue in their abdomen. And I was kind of astounded by it. And this guy was really on the cutting edge of doing something that's called a free flap, just cutting out fat and muscle from your tummy and moving it up under the breast and reconnecting it all under a microscope, connecting the blood vessels under a microscope. So I sort of, you know, kind of liked that idea. And
because you also get a tummy tuck at the same time.
You also get a tummy tuck. I was kind of borderline because I guess I'm sort of like average. You know, I mean, I'm sort of like one of those typical women that's like, I'm always trying to like lose 5 pounds here or, you know, whatever. I'm
right.
kind of like, you know, an average weight, I guess. I wasn't sort of overweight in that I had a lot of extra kind of tummy to use, but mm-hmm. he kind of just scooped it all into a, like a baseball, you know, like the size of my breast, tried to pull it together. And he said I was a borderline candidate. And I literally looked at the guy and said, I'll eat pasta for 2 weeks, whatever it is,
yeah, exactly.
You know, I'll eat. And he said, well, okay, be healthy. And I did. I really just actually I ate a lot to try to build a breast in my tummy.
That is funny.
and so I still had to sign a release form to say that if he couldn't get enough, if he felt there wasn't enough tissue there, that he would use an implant. But, you know, I'm a good eater. What can I say? and he was able to make it work. And then, you know, I did the chemo. And mm-hmm. back then I was CMF, cytoxin, methotrexin, what's the F, fluorophyll 5 or something like that, if I'm remembering correctly. Okay. I don't even think it's a sort of as common a cocktail now by any means, you know, as things advance. But had a course of that, and I was just had to recover from this having my stomach scooped out,
right.
and all of that, which was a pretty tough recovery from that. And then, you know, I mean, knock wood, so far it's 15 years later, I'm here and I'm still, you know, going for my mammograms and sonograms and MRIs and blood work and all of that, but trucking on.
Wow. And even back then, I mean, I know back then they would say, oh, yeah, you're young. But, you know, with your organization and this show and my blog and everything, we have to get the word out there to doctors that you can't just go, oh, it's probably nothing. We'll send
Absolutely.
You home. Because, I mean, I've heard so many stories, and as I'm sure you have, and Matt and everything with stupid cancer, that, you know, people will say, well, I wouldn't worry about it. We'll just, you know, watch it and come back in 6 months.
Like, right.
How are you going to watch it? It's under my skin. You know, I had a friend of mine who they said, well, there's a spot on your liver. Let's watch it. I'd be like, dude,
yeah,
it's on my liver. How are you going to watch it? You know, I can't like take it, you know, and that's one of the things when people say, I don't have enough time. I don't have time to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Seriously, you don't have time to have cancer either.
You know, you don't have time. You know, the thing is, it's like we do all this, you know, we want to buy a plasma TV. So what do? We go online and we do like all this research and mm-hmm. Consumer Reports and everything like that. Every other gadget under the sun, we check it out. But like our own bodies, you know, ignore, you know, we push that stuff away, you know, mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, we absolutely, I mean, I think the biggest lesson I learned, or one of the biggest lessons I learned through my whole experience, was I think the doctor-patient relationship is 50-50.
Yes, 50-50. Exactly.
I'm living with this body every single day, to your point. Like, you know, I knew, I mean, they were telling me, but you know what? There was something that was different. And it's just, you've got to, and there's this thing of, you know, we still look at these doctors as kind of holier than thou, and some of them, if they don't have the best bedside manner, can be intimidating, and we're afraid to ask questions, or it's all too confusing, and you know, all those things are that we talk about. If you know, bring somebody with you who's mm-hmm. got it. If you can't do it yourself, you know, bring the notepad, ask the questions. I mean, you're a paying customer,
right?
You know, you're a paying customer, and it's you know, clearly, I mean, to your point, like, what's more important than your staying alive in your own body?
Exactly. And
nothing.
I use this analogy. It's like, okay, well, if you have a car and you take it to the mechanic, and the brakes go out, and you take it to him, and he doesn't fix it, are you going to take it to the same mechanic?
Right.
No. I mean, maybe to like, say, what are you doing? But you're not going to keep going to the same person who obviously you don't like, and you don't have a good rapport with. I mean, I just had somebody on the last show, and he was like, he said, well, I didn't like my oncologist, so I fired him. And I was like, well, good for you. And he goes, and actually, I think you told me to fire him. And I didn't remember that. I was like, well, good, because that's, you know, kind of the point we want to get across, that, like you said, it's your body. There's only one you. If you don't like somebody, you know, and you don't, you're not getting along with them, it doesn't matter how good of a doctor they are, because you have to, you ultimately have to be comfortable with them.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, when I was, after I had my surgery and I met with my breast surgeon, and she said, I said, then I was ready to go meet with an oncologist. And she said, you know, I thought this was really interesting. She said, well, here's two names. She said, this guy is Mr. Lofty, you know, a million degrees from fancy schools on the wall, and he's treated, you know, our celebrity clientele and this and that, and he's like Mr. Prestige. And he said, and then I have this other woman who's, you know, a little bit closer to your age. She's a little bit newer. She said, but she's also excellent. You know, we've just recruited her, and she's great. So, of course, like a lot of people, I went with Mr. Credential first. And so I met with him. And, you know, now in 1995, they couldn't find a soul who was near 29 years old who had breast cancer. I mean, the closest patient they could refer me to anywhere, and I'm in a big city in New York City, was somebody maybe 39. So I really felt like a freak.
Right.
I really felt like a freak. And, you know, so I went and met with this doctor, and he was, you know, an older guy, gray hair, and very intimidating and all of that. And, you know, I walked in, and the first thing out of his mouth is, like, he says to me, well, you're awfully young to have gotten this, aren't you?
Oh.
And, you know, what the hell is the good of saying? I mean, you know, what am I supposed to say to that? Well, I've always been mature for my age.
Yeah,
you know,
really.
Like, what am I supposed to say? Like, that's not helpful.
No, you know? It's not.
It's not helpful. And, you know, he also couldn't get the fact he knew I had had this reconstruction. Or maybe I was just about to go in to have the reconstruction at the point that I first met with him. But he said to me, you know, well, I hear about these women, and they show each other their breasts after they've gotten reconstruction, and I really can't believe, you know, to show the other patients. And I thought, you know what, you just don't get it. Like, of course they would. Like, what, you have to go to other patients to learn. Like, I want to see the plastic surgeons work. I want to see what I'm going to be getting. Like, you know, meet with other people, find out, get information. And I really thought, I don't care how many degrees he has on the wall, you know, this guy's not going to heal me. He's not, like, you know, you go for chemotherapy, you see this person a lot. And I really believe that they have to be a very healing type of person. And, you know, and I actually, I'm generally pretty mild-mannered, I'd like to think. It doesn't take that, I'm not very quick to anger. But I walked up to my breast surgeon after meeting with him, and I literally got up in her grill, and I just said, I hate him.
That's awesome.
I hate him. And I went to the younger woman, and she still, and I loved her. She was absolutely just, we were totally in sync. I just went to go see her again 15 years later for my yearly checkup a couple months ago.
Nice.
And I just adore her, and we're close, and she's still, if I need to shoot her an email, she writes me back, and she's fabulous. And so, yeah, it just was, you know, you just have to find what works for you, and it's not always, you know, the super lofty, you know, hoo-ha, you know, whatever, who can often, certainly at a particular age, be kind of resting on their laurels, and not on the cutting edge medically of what's going on necessarily, and all of that. So,
yeah, I find that too. Like, I have my primary care physician, like, she will just research. Like, she is just like the dogged, you know, like I'm sure you are with journalism. She'll just find what's wrong with you.
Right.
You know,
right.
After I was diagnosed with cancer, I was still tired, and I finished my treatment in March, and in July I went to see her, and I was so tired, and I was laying on the exam table, like, practically asleep, and I just figured it was, like, residual chemo side effects. And she was like, you still shouldn't be this tired. And just by looking at me, she's like, you probably have, like, hypothyroidism or something.
Hmm.
And she did the blood test, and, you know, lo and behold, she was correct. And, you know, and that's what the kind of thing that you're saying, if you think that your doctor is just kind of like, well, you know, I mean, I've even talked to people. It's like, well, I know some doctors don't do a lot of research because, like you said, they just rest on their laurels. And, you know, you got to find the one that's right for you, and your current oncologist is what's right for you.
Yes.
And that's, you know, that's the perfect story. I mean, that's what I'm trying to tell people. You know,
right.
If you don't like your doctor, fire your doctor. If you don't like Target, if you don't like Walmart, you're not going to go shopping there every day.
Right.
You know, although most of us have to go to Walmart, but, you know, I mean, yeah. I mean, that's another example. You can't just because they're a doctor doesn't mean that they're the one for you.
Exactly right.
So how did you get hooked up with Matt and the wacky gang over there
and
at
the
Stupid Cancer? This would be a good story.
So here's the thing. So going back to, obviously, when I was, diagnosed, when not only was there, there were barely computers.
Right, exactly.
I was carving it in rock. It was just like, there was no blogging. There was nothing. I mean, I was, actually reading books with pages and hardcovers and going to Barnes & Noble to research things. And anyway, so I... and didn't have a sort of community, so I
right there was so there was nobody besides that 139-year-old and
pretty much exactly
in Staten Island that you didn't want to talk to. Okay.
Exactly. So then I kind of didn't want to be Cancer Girl for a while. I wanted to go back to the Lisa I was before and sort of resume my life, and so I did that. But always lingering in the back of my mind, you go through something, as you want to reach out and help the next person like you who goes through it if you
can.
And so that had always been, all these many years as I was trying to work in the sort of New York media world, I always thought, got to come back around and do something. So I actually started to shift my kind of beat, per se, in journalism, which had always been celebrity stuff, particularly in the latter years, as it's been so much of Paris Hilton, Kim Kardashian reality stuff that's not really the reason. I mean, if you like them, you like them, and I don't mean to put you down if you do, but it's not really the reason for me why I got into covering entertainment.
Right, exactly.
I kind of was really moved by people that had tremendous talent, and could sing and dance and make me laugh and make me cry, with their acting, and it's just kind of powerful talents. And so I was looking to branch out, and I sort of got it. And then having gone through my experience, I wanted to get into health kind of writing and reporting as well. So I wrote a piece for Self Magazine on breast reconstruction. Obviously, that was personal for me because I had seen a bunch of studies that were coming out of the University of Michigan that saying that 77.0% of women who get breast cancer are not told of any reconstructive options at all. And I found that really alarming because I'm not an advocate for reconstruction per se at all. I think that's like totally a personal choice. But as I'm sure you are, I'm an advocate for having all the information, and then being able to make your own decision. So when I heard that there was not, that this information wasn't being given out and all the reasons behind it, a lot of it having to do with, lack of reimbursement for doctors from insurance companies and many other things, I kind of wanted to do it, just check it out. So I investigated that. I wrote a piece for Self Magazine. I also shot a video for self.com on the Young Survival Coalition's annual conference that they do every year, the YSC. And so I covered that for them and did that for Self. So I branched out into health reporting. Anyway, through that, I met a guy who actually started is a Broadway producer. He started Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, which is a big organization to fight AIDS for the Broadway community. And he knew Matthew Zachary back from even pre-I2Y, because Matthew's a pianist.
Yes.
And just through his music, he knew Matthew. And he had actually come on as a guest on the Stupid Cancer Show. So he just said to me, you got to check this guy out. He's doing a cool thing. So I didn't really know much about I2Y, the Stupid Cancer Show, anything. I just kind of called Matthew up out of the blue and said, hey, you had cancer, I had cancer.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's get together. And that was kind of, and maybe there's something we can do or whatever it is. And so we basically just met, we met for a drink and we just kind of jammed and stuff. And so he just said, well, why don't you come on as a guest of the show? And this was about a year ago now. And so I went on the show as a guest, and he had a host, Carol Rosenthal, who's a great young adult advocate and book author. And she was, I think, getting rich. She was about to leave the show and go on to other things. And obviously, knowing my media background and having done, kind of done television and radio, he said, would you come on as co-host and co-producer? And I really thought, I said, hey, he's really on to something with this show. And it was a lot of fun, and our chemistry worked and the rest of it. And with him being entrenched, we thought we'd make a good team with him being entrenched in the kind of healthcare charity world.
Okay.
But being as creative as he is and my kind of media background, that we thought we might make a nice complement to each other.
And you're like the two cancer superheroes, basically. Wonder Twin powers activate.
Hey, I like that. So, or kind of motley version of that, maybe. But we're getting there. We're trying. So I, as of January, came on board as the co-host, co-producer, and so I've been kind of working to bring a lot of my media folks into the fold,
right.
And which has been great. And so we've had tremendous feedback and kind of bring a little bit more of the celebrity mm-hmm. element to it. Like we had Patrick Swayze's wife, Lisa Niemi, and the
yes.
executive producer of the the Big C, that show on Showtime, the Cancer Show, and sort of opening that up, and even just in terms of the listenership and the PR and stuff like that. So here we are, and I haven't run screaming yet from he and Jack Bouffard. Close a couple times.
Well, running from Jack, of course, but maybe not Matt.
Yeah, exactly. If anybody knows, the Boof, Jack Bouffard, is kind of our sidekick on the show. So it's been fun, and it's been tremendous feedback, and, we've kind of grown the show a lot, and then he kind of asked if I'd have a broader role in terms of developing the media and marketing. I said, yeah, be happy to. So here we are, and we're sort of forging ahead, and that was basically just from that one night of just, hey, who's this guy, Matt Zachary, and and that's the story.
Wow.
Yeah.
That kind of sounds like the story that I have with him. When Stupid Cancer Blog first started, he was looking for bloggers, and I was like, okay, I'll throw my hat in the ring. And,
yeah.
And I was blogging for a work blog at the time, and I was, a lot of my friends, PR friends, were like, you got to have your own blog because, this isn't going to cut it. So, I believe you and I are the same, and probably a lot of other survivors. Without Matt, we wouldn't be where we are today. In the cancer community, and just as I believe as survivors, even if you're not somebody who advocates as strongly as we do, because he does so much for the young adult community. It's just amazing. I remember meeting him he'll probably listen to this and laugh, but, and since you know him better than I do, you're probably like, oh, whatever. We went to a Cancer Treatment Centers of America empowerment rally in June or July or whatever. And he and I had to leave the same night, so we, took a car back, and, of course, he just had two kids, and he's falling asleep, and, of course, I take a picture of him. And I'm just like, I had to, because I'm a Facebook junkie. And, I'm just like, wow, I'm sitting next to Matt Zachary, who, kind of gave me my start as a blogger, and that was just kind of, I don't know, it was kind of weird being, a friend of somebody who is kind of, your mentor and kind of hero, which he'll probably be like, Mel, shut up. But,
he'll love it. He'll love it.
I know he'll love it. But it was just like, just thinking to myself, I wouldn't be here where I am today without him.
Well, he's definitely, what he does so well is speak the voice of the sort of Gen X, Gen Y community.
Yes.
And that's so key. And it's just so important. I mean, to tap into, I knew that nothing like that existed. There was no young adult cancer movement, which is what it is now, mm-hmm. A movement when I was that age. But still, I see people's eyes widen when they think, it's really true. You think pediatrics and you think over 40. And if you're in the middle, mm-hmm. you totally fall off the radar. But to mobilize a constituency, to speak their language and mobilize them and, say, hey, we're here too, and this isn't okay. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty cool. And it's just sort of growing. And what's neat about it too is it's not just survivors themselves, because it's such a youth cancer culture movement. It's cousins and friends mm-hmm. and boyfriends and girlfriends and partners and husbands and wives and it's neat, I mean, in our, we have, our new offices at I2Y.
Mm-hmm.
Have kind of a hangout section where, you can be a survivor and come down to Tribeca and kind of hang with us. And,
oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, come sit in on the show, and there's a flat screen TV, and you play video games or read books or, whatever, or harass Jack.
Well, that's always good for harassing Jack.
Fully encourage that. it's just kind of like a kind of cool place to be with like-minded folks, but totally different from what you think of so many, support groups.
Right.
Totally catered, to the sensibility of somebody in their 20s and 30s. So,
now, can you tell me, or is it top secret, anything about OMG Cancer Summit? Or is it totally top secret, and then Matt will have to, get Jack on a plane with blow darts and take me out or something.
Well, it's still a work in progress. I mean, what I can tell you is that there's like 600 plus applicants. I mean, it's been really...
Is that applicants for...
I mean, attendees.
Attendees,
folks,
okay.
Folks are saying, like, we want to be there. And what I can tell you also is that it's, for the first time, expanding from 1 day to 2 days.
Sweet.
Yeah, so that's big news. It's over 2 days, which is the first time that that's ever happened. And I actually have not been to an OMG because last year... I had a sailing trip to the Caribbean already planned.
Wow. La-dee-da.
When I signed on to I2Y, and I felt really, really bad about it. But the funny thing was is that everybody in the organization was completely sympathetic because they looked at me and they were like, OMG, you're sailing in the Caribbean? You got to go sailing in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
You know? But it was just really funny. So, but I will be there, and I'll be on one of the panels this year, and I'm really, really excited to be a part of it. So I don't... It's still a work in progress. I know there's a lot of cool things that have been planned. I haven't been involved because my focus has been growing the radio show so much that I haven't been that hands-on with the planning of OMG, other than they all said to me, don't plan a vacation this year because you have to be there.
The Caribbean will not be seeing you this year.
Yeah. So, and I'm excited about that. I mean, I really can't wait to be a part of it this year. And what I do know, again, is it's over 2 days and not just one. And we've just flooded with applicants and all kinds of corporate sponsors. And
a lot
of folks are really, it just keeps getting bigger. It's just once again, it's bigger this year. So it'll be great.
So what's next for you? You're just keep on working on Stupid Cancer? Or do you have anything else?
Yeah.
Secret things in the works? Or?
Well, we've got... we are working on, there's a couple of semi-secretive things going on with the Stupid Cancer Show in that we hope to, in the fairly near future, add a video component. That's something that's probably not too far off.
Nice.
And we just continue to add more local chapters to I2Y.
Yeah, so I'm actually trying to work on a Michigan chapter, but I'm like way up north, and then there's Detroit, which is 4 hours away. So
right,
it's kind of I don't have the time, obviously, to be a chapter member. I mean, not a chapter leader.
Chapter head,
right. So
yeah, your plate's full.
My plate's full, but you know, I'd like to see something up here if possible. If not, then I'm taking the drive down to Detroit. So for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Well, it's. Yeah, it's great that we're expanding local chapters, and continuing to, like I said, think of ways to grow the radio show and grow the OMG Summit, and so that's all moving, and sponsorships and all that sort of stuff for the organization, and grow the staff of the organization, you know, just grow everything that has to do with it. So that's all a work in progress. And then I still do, you know, my other life of, you know, I write some stuff for the New York Times and, like I said, Self Magazine and TV Guide, which is also where I used to be an editor. So I still get to pick and choose the sort of fun entertainment stuff, the non-Kardashian entertainment stuff. That I continue to do. And the worlds overlap, which is really fun for me, too. I mean, I also, you know, write sort of celebrity health pieces as well.
That's awesome.
So that's all moving forward with all of that.
I don't know. Is that really all you do, Lisa, though? I mean,
well, I chop wood sometimes
because
I live in the Hudson Valley
and,
beautiful on the banks of the Hudson River in the Hudson Valley where it's beautiful. And I've got a golden retriever who's licking my hand at the moment, Dolly. I work outside on the property, and I've been known to chop some wood.
Like
a regular Paul Bunyan. So outside of that, I guess that's probably on that exciting high note.
You got a full plate going on there, sister.
Yeah.
So I know that the next question is if people, you know, I should never say if, but when people want to get a hold of you about Stupid Cancer or anything, you know, if they know of a celebrity or that's not Paris Hilton or Kardashian or anyone that's on the hills, and they want to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
Absolutely. I'm happy to have anybody and everybody Well, mostly.
Well, not Paris Hilton or
Chloe. I shouldn't say that. That's going to come back to bite me in the ass.
We're just joking. We love you, Paris.
You know it is.
Kardashian.
Everybody, you know, look, if they make some people happy in this world, I'm all for that.
You know what? David Hasselhoff has a show. That's all I'm saying. So go
yeah,
ahead.
That's right.
Anybody can have a show. So
the Hoff.
The Hoff. Don't hassle the Hoff.
So there's a couple ways you can get a hold of me. You can email me. Please go ahead and email me at lisa@i2y. That's just the letter I, the number 2, and the letter Y. Mm-hmm. lisa@i2y.com. Or you can also just go. I have a website with kind of all my work on there, including the Stupid Cancer Show. And it's just lisabernhard.net, and it's B-E-R-N as in Nancy, H-A-R-D as in David, lisabernhard.net, and it's kind of got everything that I do, stupid cancer, celebrities, then otherwise, and there's a little button just on there that says contact me, and just click that, and I'll get that email as well. So, I'd love to hear from everybody out there.
And they can help you chop some wood and stuff, right?
Anybody with a good wood splitter out there.
Yeah, as long as you're white, as long as your white counts are good, you can help you chop some wood. As long as the doctor approves it, take your Neupogen, go out to the, where is it, the valley?
Hudson Valley.
Hudson Valley, and chop some wood with Lisa. There you go.
That's right. Maybe there's some new kind of sweepstakes we can...
Yeah, or some good cancer therapy.
Right, right.
There you go.
6 people might enter if we're lucky.
Exactly. Well, that's 6 more than you had yesterday.
That's
true. On the positive side.
That's true.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Lisa. I'm going to wrap up like I usually do. This is The Cancer Warrior. You can always find me on Facebook because I am a Facebook junkie, Mel Majoros. Become a fan of the show, The Cancer Warrior, on EmpowerRadio.com on Facebook. Check out my brand new website, thecancerwarrior.net. And you know what? Life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.